Good evening. I'm Rick Cottom. Welcome to Your Maryland. Born in 1772 to a lowland Scots family with more history than money, George Cockburn joined the Royal Navy when he was 10 years old and went to sea at 12. In 1793, the year revolutionary France declared war on Britain, he turned 21 and was promoted to lieutenant. With the Royal Navy's wartime expansion, he was soon given his first command, a small 14-gun sloop named Speedy, and assigned to a blockading squadron off the Italian city of Genoa. The Mediterranean storms were severe that year and forced the British ships on blockade to run to shelter, except for one. For days, no one knew what had happened to Speedy, and all feared she was lost. But when the weather cleared and the squadron returned, there she was, never having left her station. Young Cockburn's courage and seamanship greatly impressed the higher-ups and made him a rising star. Years of war with Napoleonic France followed, with the fearless young Captain Cockburn always in the middle of the action. By 1812, when war broke out with the United States, his was a household name in Britain, and the Admiralty thought he was just the man to bring the war home to the Yankees, who had treated British Canadians so roughly. Intending to do exactly that, Rear Admiral Cockburn sailed for the Chesapeake. He arrived in March 1813 aboard the 74-gun ship of the line Marlborough and quickly began creating havoc. Captured coastal shipping was burned or converted to British use as he saw fit. Worse, he strictly applied the harsh law of the sea to Chesapeake farms, plantations, and towns. Cockburn, who also held a colonelcy in the Royal Marines, happily led raiding parties ashore, capturing or destroying military stores, bringing off slaves, and burning houses he deemed to be hostile. As a British midshipman wrote later, "If by any stretch of argument we could establish the owner of a house to be a militiaman, that house we burnt, because we found arms therein, a duck gun or a rifle. It so happens that in America every man must belong to the militia, and consequently every man's house was food for a bonfire." But that was nothing to what came next. Late in April 1813, Cockburn turned his cold eye on the towns at the head of the bay and began 12 days of terror, the likes of which Maryland had never seen. When Frenchtown on the Elk River dared to fire on his landing boats, Cockburn put it to the torch. On May 3rd, Havre de Grace met the same fate, and for good measure, Cockburn destroyed the important foundry at Principio Furnace. On May 6th, he moved up the Sassafras to Frederickstown and Georgetown. When militia ambushed his Marines on the river, Cockburn led them ashore with torches blazing. In a house on the heights above Georgetown, a lone woman, the tall and striking Kitty Knight, whom President Washington had once asked to dance, confronted her unwelcome visitors and defiantly put out the fires as the Marines set them. Legend has it that Cockburn himself appeared at her door and that she persuaded him to spare her house and that of her elderly neighbor. The story may be true, but it's just as likely Cockburn was busy supervising the plundering in town and that it was one of his officers who was so impressed by her courage they finally left her alone. On May 7th, when Cockburn turned south once more for the mouth of the bay, he left behind almost total destruction. Except for Elkton, where stout defenses had turned him back, the head of the bay was a smoking ruin. When the Admiralty questioned his tactics, Cockburn told them he'd burned or taken only military supplies, and that he'd paid for livestock and other things his crews needed. But his men knew better. One recalled that Cockburn offered $5 a head for steers worth 20, $1 a head for sheep worth 6, and that if it was refused, he simply took what he wanted. All in all, George Cockburn had done as much as one man could do to destroy part of Maryland. As the Marlborough headed south to bring more fire to Norfolk, an angry Virginian offered $1,000 for Cockburn's head, or $500 for each ear. The once gallant young lieutenant had become the scourge of the Chesapeake, with a price on his head.